You are listening to Chaos Springs Eternal, a Delta Green actual play, brought to you by Quartermasters of the Tabletop. This is Season 1, City of Woe. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes and disturbing imagery, as well as horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you're one of those people who don't mind comprehending some horrors from time to time, I think you'll have a good time listening here. Join us, won't you? Hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal Season 1, City of Woe. I kind of wanted to go, it's just later and later on that. It actually is getting funnier again. It wasn't funny the couple times when you kept putting it off. I was doing the edits on the episodes today, and I'm really excited to just talk a little bit, but I did want to bring up, this was something that we've got like a little channel in our private Discord about the, you know, banter questions. This one was like worst board game experience that Noah brought up, and I've got mine. And it's like, it's very sad because I had been with this, I still occasionally go over and play board games with this group.
Oh boy.
Like we played Scythe, we played, I can't even remember all of them, bunch of worker placement games, like all, they were pretty hardcore, like the Scythe part especially. I mean, we'd go over and we'd like start playing board games at 11 at night and then we'd get done like 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's where your suggestion for Wingspan for me and my wife came from.
Yes, and yeah. Hey, love Wingspan. So Wingspan, much fun. My family plays game. It all the time.
We play it all the time.
I still need to try that game.
Well, I had gotten Gloomhaven for like Amazon Prime Day, and I got it for some insanely good deal, like $60. And so I was like, oh, these guys are going to love Gloomhaven, right? Like, yeah. And this was years and years ago. And so I like learned all the rules. I got everything out, got it all set up for like the first thing, and I was like, here's the first one. Brought it over, we played it, and they just all looked at me after the first one. They're like, yeah, we don't like this. And then they put everything up and they brought out some other game. I think it was some like Frost building Haven. I was like building no
I'm kidding, like, that's the Gloomhaven expansion.
I know what Frosthaven is
though. No, but I mean for the listeners, I know you know what it is, Dan. I respect your intelligence.
I think most of our listeners,
you just don't respect the listeners' intelligence.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Listen, boy, sometimes I'm a listener. I don't respect my own intelligence.
But I don't know. They brought out one that was just like, here's the history of Scotland. So you control coal or steel or trains or grain. And I can't stand those ones.
Ooh.
I don't like the ones where you have to plan out like 8 turns in advance what you want to do. And this is like, okay, well, that guy did one thing and now I can't do any of those 8 turns.
I can't get any coal from... Yeah. Bath, England.
You ruined my entire 5-step plan.
Yeah. Catan be like.
What about you, Noah? You got a bad board game experience?
Yeah, believe it or not, it was Risk. I was really young playing it with my cousins, and we got pretty heated at one point, I think. And we just agreed to never play Risk, and we kept playing Uno instead. As like the safest game we can play, which I know is a weird step, but it was just like there's not a lot of setup for Uno.
It's like I'm tired of playing basketball. What if we just shoot each other in the nuts? I hate Uno so much. It's the worst.
Were you guys playing with the chaotic? Were you guys playing with the 7-0 rules?
No, listen, that, and going into house rules for Uno is an entire other preamble banter topic in of itself.
That's fair.
I'm not going to delve into it, but it was we played with some fun house rules for us.
Ooh, sexy Uno?
No, it was my cousin.
With his cousins?
What the fuck?
What Appalachian state do you think he lives in?
Cousin Uno.
Sweet.
Hey, I don't know. South of the Mason Dixon.
No, it was just stacking draw 4 and draw 2s and skip turn. Very funny. Two players only played because they had a bunch of skip turns for a minute. But just, like, the setup for Risk is so much bullshit going back and forth between, like, all right, well, you have this, you have that, you have this, I have this. They did not grok it at all. They did not enjoy it.
Fun. I mean, not fun, because that's, we're talking about like bad experiences, but that's one of my favorite things to do, is just to reply fun with to things that makes no sense for. I do that at work sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and, I had to put down my dog. Fun. What?
Fun.
They'll just be like doing a report on like, oh yeah, you know, we had to fix this connection, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fun, man. They like it. I don't know, Mark, have you ever had a bad video game? Or not video game. God. Have you ever had a bad board game experience?
I mean, obviously I've played Monopoly, so I've had a bad board game experience.
Correct.
But the one that comes to mind is that we bought this game. It was $70, and I mentioned earlier that my wife and I really love Wingspan, and we have all the expansions, and that's like the great, we just play it all the time with the kids. And we were like, I was like, okay, well, how can I get another game that's like Wingspan, but still as fun and something a little different? And I was recommended Ark Nova. Now, Ark Nova was like an $80 board game, which fine. But we sat down to set it up, and my wife looked at me and she was like, there's no way. There's no way we're doing this. And I was like, oh, come on, give it a chance. And my two kids are sitting around the table and they're looking at us, and we're just, I'm like, we got to try it. And they're like, I don't understand what this piece does. And what does this do? But I hear it's a great game if you can actually figure it out for the first time. And so I'm like, okay, we'll just need to sit down, you and I, and figure this out. But it was very disheartening because it took us like an hour to set up, and the kids were bored, and my wife was like, nope, not happening.
Yeah, the longer the setup, the more nervous you get about like if this is going to be good or not.
Yeah. For sure.
And yeah, the price doesn't help.
Yeah, no.
What about you, Tyler? You had any bad board game experiences?
Oh boy, do I. Bouncing off the longer the setup, the worse it is. Right out of high school, I had two of my best friends, Nick and Zach. If you're listening, you'll know the story. We were over at a homie's place, and there were four of us. It was me who was going to end up playing Imperial Japan. Nick and Zach are twins. One was America, one was, I think, the UK. My friend who we were playing at his place was Germany. We didn't know how to set up the game, so we left it to the twins to set it up. Since it was their game, they've played it a lot, they know how to play it. They bickered for 4 fucking hours on how to set up Axis and Allies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were they confused about who was which?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember, because at one point, me and Riley looked at each other and we're like, we just started getting drunk.
Yeah.
We just started drinking. Yeah. And just like having our own good time. We're playing like we ended up playing Mario Kart while we were waiting, and then they're like, hey, it's done. We looked at the clock, it was 3 a.m. or something like that. It was like, whoa. We have to work in 5 hours.
Oh man.
Like, because me and the twins worked at Starbucks at the time, and we both, all three, had morning shifts for some reason that day. And we played for an hour. And I got fucking steamrolled by America, because early game Japan. And I went, oh, that was fun. I went to sleep.
Yeah. Well, I remember I have so many board game experiences. But I did read one this week on like the Reddit board games that was like, this guy was like, oh yeah, I was going to play board games with my board game group. And I said in Slack, I was like, hey, does anyone want to play this game? And everyone said like yes at first, and then he bought it, spent a bunch of money, offered to host, and then like the day of, everyone said no, and then they just didn't show up. And apparently, that was the plan the whole time. And like,
what shitters?
I'll find this thread for you guys and link it to you, because yeah, it is genuinely like a what happened. And I think the English wasn't their first language, because it was a little bit like hard to understand exactly what happened, but that was the vibe that I got, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe it.
Oh, that's awful.
That's legit psycho behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would kill someone.
Yeah. Speaking of legit psycho behavior, I kind of wanted to like run through real quick all the downtime stuff that y'all did, because we didn't really have that last time. We didn't like look back at episode 16 in episode 17.
Oh, yeah.
But like, so episode 16, Glomus led y'all out to the second exit, right? Did a little bit of searching, you know, deciding what to do. You found Marie Babineau's grave with a white lily growing out of it. And then Joel went home and did drugs about it. Cyril got a silencer eventually from kind of a big wheel, maybe even cut by Joel himself. And then went to a local hotel bar to find a little fling. Joel has also requested a gun. I remember that, not remembered, but I listened to that. And then that was episode 16 in a nutshell. And then episode 17 was very Marcy focused. She went back home, checking out all her bowling awards. Went to the Pickle Pin bowling alley, got mad at a guy who stepped over the line, and then went to visit the mayor. Talked to him a little bit about y'all's progress, mostly less about the progress and mostly about her hurting herself.
And getting paid.
Yeah. She had trouble speaking at one point because she was about to reveal some stuff about Clomas. Finally, after, you know, miraculously remembering about Colette, remembered to ask the mayor about Colette, where y'all learned a little secret, the little little Babineau family history, that she was hired as a maid, got pregnant from one of the Babineau cousins, child was delivered stillborn, and she was dismissed. And the mayor confirmed that Marie-Ange, her symbol was the white lily. That was sort of her trademark. And then y'all decided to meet at Eddie's Diner, the football-themed Denny's knockoff, for the rundown, where y'all sort of discussed some theories. Y'all got a call from Andrew at the Daily Gator asking about Clementine, so I had to cover that. You kind of teased out some potential leads with Colette, sort of talking about maybe birth records or just like any historical records about her. And then we ended on y'all remembering the pink Jeep and deciding that that's a thread you want to pull. And so you decided to call the detective, and as you call it, rang and rang and rang and rang, and it just so happens that there's actually a TV on in this diner, and normally it's just, you know, playing whatever it's playing.
Football.
I don't know. It's about
old
that 70s
time. 70s
reruns. We're a Monday night still, so Monday night football. But Monday night football gets interrupted. In a shocking turn of events.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. there's a reporter from the local, well, not local, the news station, but you recognize them, seeing as you show up on their channel from time to time from KUTV, I think. Is that the TV station that you'll go to?
That sounds right.
I don't know, Dan. You tell us.
Public SSD, WCLA.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did KUTV.
That
might be Utah.
Sound familiar to me.
I think that's Utah.
You should have added an N in there so it could be Nut TV.
No. So WCLA, one of the reporters hops on and she says, we're here outside of City Hall where they've just called the press conference with the mayor and the head of police, and they've got a report on a missing persons. And she says, I just got word that they're about to start. And the police chief, Chief Anderson, stands up and says, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Sorry for calling this so late, but we've had a big break on the case. We're just here to inform you that we have been searching for Antoine Babineau, and we have made an arrest towards the connection to his disappearance, and we believe death. And everyone starts like, all the crowd noise. Finally, he points to, you know, one of the reporters and says, Chief, can you provide us any details on the arrest, who the suspect is? And Chief says, yes, we have arrested Chelsea Wynn. She was Antoine Babineau's girlfriend at the time. And we received some eyewitness accounts that she had been seen with him the other night. And when her alibi essentially did not check out. So we've made the arrests, and we will be moving forward with this. And, you know, more rabble from the crowd. He picks out another reporter. Chief, can you elaborate on any of the evidence you might have against her? He says, I can't go into specific details at the moment. We can't comment on the actual investigation. It's ongoing. However, we're confident in moving forward with this arrest. And then one of the reporters, you know, if you're a little more hubbub, it says, Chief, can we speak to the detective and anything that he can provide us? And you all see Detective Marr, you know, a seasoned officer, but he looks just worn out. I mean, bags under his eyes. He is like barely keeping it together. He stands up. He's got kind of a stern, you know, sad demeanor. He gets up there and he says, Chelsea Wynn was arrested this afternoon without incident. She is, of course, denying all charges, as one might expect in that situation, or in this situation. Another reporter. Detective Marr, how confident are you that Chelsea Wynn is the sole perpetrator in this case? He says, our investigation is thorough, and we believe that we have the right person in custody. We are focused on ensuring justice for Antoine Babineau and his family. And the mayor's there, and you know, he's definitely looking rough. Marcy, you know that he's looking incredibly rough at this time. You know, more rabble from the crowd, and then finally another reporter. Chief, have you established a motive? And Chief Anderson says that. Look, there's a lot of potential motives, but that's part of the ongoing investigation, so I'm not going to comment on that. Another question from the crowd. Chief, when is she going to be appearing in court? He says, we're going to, the arraignment will take place tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., following all necessary legal procedures. Thank you, everybody, for your questions. I appreciate your patience and understanding. We'll keep you updated on any developments as they occur. And this concludes the press conference, and you know, there's a big hubbub and everything, and he sits back down, and you all see Detective Marr just like turn to look at the mayor, and he like opens his mouth, but nothing comes out.
Can we hear what comes out?
No, it's just like he can't talk.
No, he just can't talk.
Oh no.
So then Monday Night Football comes back on.
Well, there goes the town therapist.
Oh, God damn it, Las Vegas scored during that? Fuck, I wanted to see that.
Yeah, it's 47-10 Las Vegas over Jacksonville. Why Jacksonville Vegas is on you know, Monday Night
Football. Monday Night Football.
And also at this time, wait, when did they move to Las Vegas?
Vegas was not a
yeah.
not team a yet. Thing, yeah. Yeah, no, nah, they were maybe that's LA just, at that time.
Yeah. Anyways,
yeah, they were, but that's just another difference between our world and
yeah,
this right. one.
They were never Oakland Raiders. They were always yeah, never. The Las Vegas Raiders.
They were always the yeah.
Las
Vegas
Raiders. Raiders, and everything else was
since the 50s. Yeah.
Anyway, so that happens, and then I wanted to let and by the way, the call goes to voicemail after ringing for a long time.
Oh,
yeah, I know. I was like, he left us really hanging on that one. Yeah.
God, how wild would it be if he answered?
Just in the while he's up there on the stage. Hang on, I got to take this.
I got to take this.
I wasn't even thinking that. That'd be funnier. I was like, hello, Detective Marr. And we see Detective Marr up on stage.
And he just starts talking to us about Glomus, and he's just moving his mouth and nothing's coming out.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about our friend, and then just like a fish gulping water.
So, okay. So let me get this straight. the detective, was he, the police chief was making the announcement, right?
Yes.
Okay, and the mayor was there?
The mayor was there as well, yep.
Okay, how did the mayor look?
The mayor looked extremely, like, haggard, sad. I mean, you can make, like, I don't know, I'm not going to make you make, like, a psychology. You didn't see him very well, but, like, he looked upset and, like...
So visibly shaken. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
He was not, like...
Probably
pumping his fist in the air and being like, yeah!
Well, I mean, you know, he could be sad, but not look like, you know, he could be a good liar.
It's true. I mean, if you wanted to make a roll, you could make that. Again, it'd be kind of tough. Like, I'm not gonna... I think, like...
No.
Psychotherapy at minus 20 or, like, human at minus 20, because I feel like if you're just watching someone on TV...
Didn't want him to be, like, all stone-faced and
He was not putting up even, like, a brave demeanor.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
I think seeing that, Joel's mood sours. Like, he has that empathy.
But they don't have a body.
They do not have a body, as far as you know.
Yeah, as far as we know.
They didn't say it, I mean.
Didn't mention anybody.
We need to get back in contact with Detective Marr. I think that he has her detained for the moment, just so she had to have seen something.
Yeah, possibly. I also could regain sanity if we go in there and talk to her. Cause she is the town therapist.
Yes, she is. She is a therapist.
Oh, fuck. That's me talking outside of the game. The town therapist is being...
If she goes in the slammer, all hope of Marcy coming back from sand loss is going
to
be gone.
Well, I mean, she could just go bolt.
Roll a perfect game.
That's true.
Yeah, I need to roll 10 consecutive perfect games, and I'll be right as rain.
And mechanically, you just have to roll 1d10. You know, what is it?
I got to get
13 times, technically. Is it just 12? I don't remember bowling. How to score bowling?
It's 10.
Okay. It's 10. Yeah, it's 10 boxes, but the last one, if you get strikes, you get 3 chances.
Yeah.
Okay. So 12.
Well, if you get a spare on the second frame, then you get another frame.
Or strike.
Right.
I just roll strikes until they tell me to stop.
If you said that with, like, a little more confidence, that would be the, like, most baller bowling statement since who do you think you are, I am?
You think you are, I am? I was just about to say that.
Who do you think you are? I just, that guy just being like, I just roll strikes until they tell me to stop.
The voices are telling me, keep going.
Oh, man.
Dude, I hit people with the who do you think you are, I am. Like, out of left field. Like, I'll just be playing, like, Hunt, and then, like, in voice chat be like, who do you think you are? I am! After I just style on someone.
It's one of the greatest sports moments of all time.
It truly is.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah, great.
So, what do you want to do?
All right.
I mean, you've talked about going to see Detective Marr, but you could head down to the police station.
If it's okay, I think on the voicemail, as soon as we see him on TV, hey, we understand you're in the middle of something. When you have time, please reach back out to us. We need to discuss something.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. You can leave that message.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay, so we wanted to research the pink Jeep, which was part of our reason for reaching out to Detective Marr. We needed to figure out what was going on between the Babineaus, Colette, and like how we could solve that problem, right?
Yes.
And then now
basic exorcisms also.
Right. And then now we could maybe follow a lead into Antoine Babineau if we can get access to Miss Wynn.
And if Detective Marr plays ball, that's an easy access.
Right. So, I mean, we could divide and conquer a little bit because Marcy's better at the research part.
She can be, provided my die rolls cooperate.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, we could all go to the police station. I'm not saying we should do that. I'm just saying that that's something that's on the table. I mean, going to the police station would kill two birds with one stone.
There are a lot of birds flying around for us, and we got a lot of rocks. We got to get to kicking.
Yeah.
We're not doing very good at anything, though.
I can't make the trip.
Yeah.
I had something I was going to say. Never mind. I lost it. I think in character, Joel's like, I think getting a hold of Detective Mara is going to be priority number one. He looks ragged. We need to make sure that he doesn't snap on us, or we really need to have him give us access to talk to the girlfriend, because she either knows something or it'll at least rule out one avenue.
Right. Plus, I know that the mayor might be there as well. You never know. We could maybe talk to him further. I know Marcy had already talked to him.
I don't think I should talk. I should be the one to talk to him again. Definitely y'all should, not me. I believe I've pissed in his cornflakes, is how I'm going to put it. Or I've annoyed him a lot today.
It'd be fun to go to a police station and not end up in a jail cell for once. So, I mean, I'm definitely down for that.
I mean, the other thing we could do is go back. I was looking to look into the field where they had found Antoine Babineau, because I don't know what's there and whereabouts it is. I mean, Glomus didn't tell us any of that. Like, he told us he found the body in a field, but he didn't give us any specifics as to where that was.
That is true.
So, I mean, that's a potential thing as well, but yeah.
So I think you want to go somewhere? Do you want to go home and sleep on it?
Well, this is happening prior to our night out, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, no, so that was Monday.
Or is this the next morning?
I didn't think that, well, the way that I had it is most of that stuff happened on Monday, right? Okay. And so, like, you are back from your thing, and so this is Monday night. You guys have regrouped.
Okay.
That's how I got it as well, so.
People go to hotels in the afternoon, Mark. It's not that unusual.
Hey, I'm all for a little afternoon delight. I get it. Okay.
Great song.
Great song.
I'm down for definitely see if we can get talking to Detective Marr and maybe... What's the therapist's name again? I'm sorry.
Chelsea Wynn.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a quick and easy avenue to go down. I mean, I don't know about you, but I got work in the morning again.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of have work. Sorry to say, Joel, but without Clementine, I don't know how they're going to run that place. I don't have any appointments tomorrow. So I think we need to make, well, obviously we need to make Clementine a priority here. So maybe we do research first. I mean, we can't just keep putting off Clementine being lost in the ether.
I might be able to forge some stuff to make it seem like she had to go somewhere. I don't know if that'd make things easier for us.
Yeah. I don't think that's necessarily worth the effort. I mean, they seem to buy that she had to go out of town for family.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay.
Cut to Andrew at the Gator being like, I need to report a missing persons. I think this sounded really suspicious. I think he killed her.
That's fine.
No.
I think she turned into ash, but not?
I don't know.
Just what's like an ashy dust type thing?
A pile of nothing.
A pile of nothing.
One pile of nothing, please.
All right. Well, I need you guys to decide. Are you doing some Monday night research? Are you spending your Tuesday researching? What are you going
to
do?
Well, okay. Then I would say that goes back to us splitting the party. I think that maybe Joel and I could go talk to the detective and let Marcy do the research into trying to figure out what the connection is and what needs to be solved.
I'm down for it.
Does that sound like a plan?
Okay.
Works for me.
All right. So, Marcy be thinking about, or will Noah be thinking about where you want Marcy to, like, research? Is that, I mean, 7:30 at night on Monday, I think the library is closed, so you'd have to do, like, research at home. But the police station, I'm going to say it's open, because it's one of those police stations that has the jail in it, so they're open. There's got to be people there. So if you swing by, I assume that you've split back up. I don't remember how. I don't know if we said all separate cars. I assume all separate cars, but getting to Eddie's Diner. But as you leave Eddie's Diner, taking the tea eggs back with you, whatever leftovers you might have, we're gonna swing by the police station, where Joel and Cyril show up, and they are met with secretary? I don't know. Do they have secretaries at the police station?
Like a receptionist. Like a desk sergeant.
Yeah, receptionist.
Yeah, secretary. Yeah, something like that. She's more than a secretary. She's combo secretary receptionist. But they don't call them sec receptionists because that's just be too ridiculous.
Resecretary?
Resecretary. So there you go. And she says, oh, hey, visiting hours are over. But I can take a message or anything that you might need.
I'm sorry. Detective Marr asked us to come in. We had called him about something yesterday, and he wanted us to follow up on it.
Oh, okay. Detective Marr, hang on. And she, shuffles some papers, pulls a phone, presses a couple buttons, and, you hear a ringing far away. Picks up the phone, and she goes back and forth, and she says, okay, you can go swing by his offices, down that way. There's only, three offices on the left side. One's the police chief, one's the chief detective, and then, there's another just sort of storage office. And he's in his office. Knocking on the door, he invites you in.
Does he still look real disheveled and rough?
Very. I mean, he looks like a man who hasn't slept in 2 days, and he is actively drinking a coffee, filling out paperwork. He looks up when you come in, and he's like, I don't know if you heard the news, but we've made an arrest in the death of Antoine Babineau.
We did know that. We saw it on the news.
Yeah, we were trying to call you to ask about the Jeep, but it seems like you found something a little more pressing. Do you think she did it?
He looks at you and he's like, she couldn't have done it. There's just no way. It doesn't make sense with everything that we know, that you, we three know. It doesn't make sense. He's like, do you know how hard it has been for me to not die? Do you know how I've looked completely stupid in front of so many people because I'm trying to talk to them, and then I just lock up because I can't say things that I know. And
yeah, we saw you. What do we know about Chelsea Wynn? We know that she's the therapist, but is she would she be capable of something like this? That she's a slight woman? I don't know. What do we
know
about
her? She's 5'6", average height, average weight. Maybe slightly on the shorter side, but not too much. I don't know if you've been to the town therapist before, but she's not. It's not like she's hanging around CrossFit either. She just, seems like a normal person.
Yeah. How long do you think this story's going to hold up here, Detective?
This is, we can. She's getting arraigned. Now, me, Daniel. Dan, I don't actually know if that's the actual order it would be in. I tried to do some research, but essentially, they're pressing charges, right? He's like, we can keep her for a little while. If we didn't have charges, we'd just be able to keep her for a day. But we're actually moving forward and trying to bring it to trial and move things along very quickly. It's not going to hold though. Her alibi doesn't hold up, but it's not like we have any evidence against her. So it's just
you don't
where she says she was, and it's not that her alibi doesn't hold up. It's just that there's not much evidence of her alibi, right?
Right. Nothing corroborates it.
What is her alibi?
Her alibi is that she saw him 2 weeks ago, or maybe a little less than that. I'm trying to remember when the storm was. She saw him the day before the storm. He had driven to New Orleans that morning. And then he was headed back, and he was supposed to be back the day after the storm. She figured that he had gotten delayed, and that was all that she knew. But she is apparently the last person that we know that saw him alive, because he didn't tell her who he was going to visit in New Orleans, and all of his standard business partners didn't see him.
Dan, can I ask you a question about the storm itself?
Yeah.
Where exactly did it hit the hardest? Was it in our area? Was it Louisiana? Was it Texas?
So it was mostly Louisiana. It didn't hit New Orleans directly, but it was pretty significant in terms of flooding and, care for usually, I mean, it doesn't get the biggest, but it's usually like power out for, you know, a day or two, and then floods, sure. You know, flood waters that stand for a little bit.
Okay. But it wasn't like Katrina, like wipe out the city kind of storm. It was just like a category, like, I don't know how they, I can't remember if it's up or down, like a small category hurricane or a large category.
Big
I don't know
number, big storm.
Yeah.
Big number, big storm. Yeah,
the only thing that's remarkable about it is that it happened, like it formed and hit land faster than most storms, but not like record fast or anything.
Okay, so nothing too unusual about it.
Yeah.
Would it be a storm that someone could drive through is what I'm asking, because it seems weird that he's in New Orleans and then he's like, oh, I'm just going to hit the road.
He was supposed to come the day after the hurricane. Yeah.
Right. So he was just chilling in New Orleans to ride out the hurricane?
Presumably, yeah. I mean, it could have even been that he didn't think that the hurricane would hit because, it happened so fast. Sometimes, you know, in the blast day, those can bend, you know, quite a bit, changing their angle. So maybe he was trying to get ahead of the storm, or maybe he was riding it out. You know, obviously you don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Just checking. I don't know if we've ever asked about the actual storm.
No, you haven't. I don't know if anyone has like meteorology. Maybe you can ask more about that.
I do have 55 points in meteorology.
I know that you're lying.
What?
But I know that you're lying. But you are so good at it sometimes that I was just like, oh, okay.
The amount of times Mark has gotten me in like the old Iron Gods Pathfinder game, we'd be like, does a 32 hit? No, actually. What? You probably have some weird buff I didn't think about. All right, yeah, you're a cleric. You're probably good.
Yeah, I'm very
remember that time that Dan tried to learn to gaslight us, and we were just like, it's not working, buddy.
Yeah, no, it completely fell flat.
That's why I have to be the handler. This is the only way it works, is if we have the conceit. Only way
when I hold all the
it's
cards.
It's only the conceit of the game. So anyway, I don't remember where. So yeah, he's like, I mean, we have no evidence that it wasn't her, but we three, and Marcy, right. Know that it couldn't be her. I mean, you saw what happened to his body. There's no way.
There's no way it's her. You're right.
I mean, she's a werewolf.
Right, so he never... have we ever confirmed that he made it home? Or was he just caught in the middle and accosted on the road in?
The mayor led us into his apartment, and... it didn't look like anyone had been there for week and a half.
I mean, there was... Okay. And did you ever find his vehicle then?
We've not.
Or was he staying at a roadside or
we've
something?
We've not found his vehicle. There's been no reports of his vehicle. That's why I'm saying this stuff doesn't add up. It's not going to... I mean, we announced a major arrest, and I couldn't explain to the chief why this was a mistake to do. Every time he asked me, why is this a mistake? I just stood there mute. I'm beginning to think I shouldn't have trusted that thing.
I know. I feel the same way. It's a weird bargain we have struck.
What kind of vehicle did Antoine drive? I mean, I work at kind of a big wheel. I mean, like if I see something come through, I can let you know.
Yeah.
I think I've said this before, and I can't remember what the vehicle was, but it was like a BMW Mercedes, like a mid class. You know, one of the
like a M3 or something like that. You said. Yeah.
So something, whatever he get, you know, he's like, yeah, it's this BMW 3. Yeah.
What about Miss Wynn? What does she drive?
She drives a Saab.
Oh.
Yeah, Saab. Right. Am I right, boys?
I don't know. Is that, there's no, it's not a bad car, right? It's just sort of like, it's just a neutral car.
It's a very neutral car. I was watching the other night where they were talking about Saabs, but okay.
It's the most neutral car there is. It's like, I don't know anyone who's really passionate about them. I don't know anyone who hates them.
Absolutely people who are way too passionate about
I believe it. I just don't run in those circles.
I don't even know what vehicle that is. The only acronym I know for that is son of a bitch.
It's like a Swedish.
S-A-A-B.
Oh.
That's son of a son of a bitch.
So her alibi didn't have anything, no strangeness inside of it. She didn't see or hear anything weird.
She saw him off, and no one saw her saw him off. And the only other thing that we have is that apparently someone had witnessed them fighting like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that could just be incidental. She made no phone calls to him. There's no phone records of him making contact with anyone here in town.
No, the last phone call that we have off anything from him was just placing an order for a local restaurant in New Orleans. They delivered to his hotel. He checked out of his hotel, never checked back in.
Okay. Didn't stop for gas, didn't do nothing like that?
Not that we have any records of, no.
Okay, I'll try. I know I'm pressing you, but I'm just trying to get all the facts.
No, it's fine. Your handler definitely thought of all these things beforehand, so it's not just making them up as he goes.
Okay, good. That's good to know. I'm glad we're in good hands here.
What? Did she tell you what the fight was about?
She just... I don't even know that she recalled the specifics. She just said it was a fight. Sometimes people fight. Might have been about how much time he spent in New Orleans versus how much time he's spending there, whether they want to settle down in New Orleans or whether she wants to keep up her practice here. You know, people fight about things.
Do we know why he was in New Orleans?
Are you asking me or are you asking him?
I'm both.
So he's like, yeah, I mean, he does lots of business, just sort of like setting up shipping deals, setting up sales deals. I mean, he coordinates lots of things, so he's just meeting with people all the time. He does lots of, I think his job description is logistics, which I think is kind of a catch-all for things happen.
Kind of bullshit. Yeah, I get it. Okay.
We need to ask her if he's been acting funny.
Yes. Here's the thing. I can't get too specific in my questions asking her. We have asked her something, so if you want to, and he like looks around, he steps outside of his office, just like checks around. He's like, if you want to ask her anything, I can arrange some time for you to meet with her.
One step ahead of me as always, detective. Yes, yep. I was going to ask that. Yes.
Okay. And then we cut.
Okay,
go ahead. Go ahead. If you have another question.
I was just going to be like, we also need your help in regards to a little vehicle description that might be connected in some way.
The pink Jeep. You mentioned that, right?
Yeah, it's very distinctive. A lifted pink Jeep.
Yeah.
There can't be that many in town.
I'd ask one of the people who gets 911 calls. Operators.
Operator?
I'd ask one of the operators to...
I don't know, Tech, you might need something stronger than coffee now. Yeah.
It's a dispatcher.
He's just acting on me.
An operator.
I'd ask one of the operators, dispatchers, to keep an ear out. I haven't heard back from them, but I'll let you know.
I know, but can't you run like a record check? We don't have access to that.
I can, yeah, sure.
Can't you do pink Jeep here, Kyafol?
Yes, but...
Almost hit us?
I mean... I think I would know if there was a pink Jeep in town. That's pretty specific. There's
pretty gaudy.
Yeah.
It's true.
If I just knew who had a pink Jeep or if I had seen it around, I might be able to like go track it down, but that sounds like something new to town.
Biggest problem is if that's a custom job, that's not going to show up under a VIN or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you know, because maybe you got some connections with, it's quite a big wheel or whatever your name is. Lifting Jeeps like that takes a special hand sometimes.
No, it's actually kind of a plug-and-play system, but no, you're right. Yeah. No. Fuck, Cyril, you're a genius. Yeah, I'll ask tomorrow.
I know. Yeah.
And we cut. Also, I'm going to interrupt here because I remembered that last time y'all had a realization post-session that you had not put together in the session. I don't know if you wanted to share that here now, but no, I could let Marcy be the one to reveal that. I don't know if you remember now what that was.
I do not.
I'm an old man, so I don't remember.
Tyler, do you want to share?
The only thing I remember was my big revelation, like off the top of my head, that was total nonsense and not true. It involves the fairy tales or the nursery rhymes.
The nursery rhymes.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah.
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 Do you want to share what you put together from the nursery rhymes?
I don't remember. Hang on. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. We were looking back through our notes. Yeah.
I vaguely recall it was something to the degree of like yeah, believe it or not, Dan is a good DM and yeah. actually put effort into the things and lighting up with events that will happen.
Essentially,
Mary had a little lamb,
yeah,
whose fleece was stained with red, and everywhere that Mary went, she saw its face in her head. And then we started making these connections to the very first thing our wonderful handler decided to give us. Yeah.
And
all her dad's doctors and all her mom's friends. All her dad's doctors?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Her dad's doctors. Okay, yeah. I'm like, huh? Cried for Humpty and she before she even began.
Yeah, so. it was about Marguerite.
Yeah, you had put together that was about the stillbirth that Colette had. So, anyways, I thought for... I have one more note that I was reading because I realized that I have not distributed any like luck lately, and so I figured post downtime, I might just give everyone like, hey, just roll 1d10 and you get that much luck, so you can do that now.
Oh, okay,
okay, sounds good.
Come on, 1-6. Okay, that's not
you
bad.
Need it
I'm up
so
to,
bad.
I'm up to 18 luck. Yeah, I truly do. I'm at 12. Like I said, I'm at 18 luck now.
But this, I'll take it. But man, I don't have 69 luck anymore now.
Oh, bummer. I mean, you could just not take the luck, or just spend it on just roll something real quick and spend 4 luck on it.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Okay, so we're gonna cut over to Marcy. What is Marcy? With the library being closed, I assume Marcy just goes home to start Googling and. Researching?
Yeah, Marcy goes to the bowling alley and just bowls instead since the library... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, she'll go to her home and just set up on her couch, put on some National Bowling League that she has recorded, just to go in the background and get her in the mindscape of just her flow. And she'll start out pulling up some tabs on one window, exorcism rituals, salt banishing stuff, and just like how to get rid of ghosts, basically, as best as she can, and just sift through all the bullshit WikiHow-esque material and just try to get to the real nitty-gritty or where she can procure books or more esoteric information. And then she'll start going into birth records for Marguerite, other Babineau family members around that time, and just see if there are any other people who may have had stories about that family, or even staff members, maybe, who, like, got out and carried down in their family. It was like, my uncle used to work over at that Babineau place, and it was all types of crazy shit going on, blood rituals and whatnot, or some shit like that.
Okay.
I totally thought you said, with that pause, you were gonna be like, and then she's gonna go into the dark web. And like, just go
pulls
down.
Pulls out a second keyboard.
Yeah, downloads Tor.
Right.
I don't even know what the fuck Tor is.
Torrent. It's the dark web.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I have to step in here because torrent is not the same as Tor. Tor is for the onion router, and torrent is for like pirating movies and stuff.
Oh, I thought they were the same thing.
I think they might work on similar principles, but I don't know.
I'm going to be honest. I really know how to function, like how my laptop functions. So whatever you say is true, as far as I'm concerned.
That's how games work, baby.
That's how it works.
All right. So, so you want to do you got more you want to research?
One last thing. Yes. How to easily become an ordained priest, if that will help you in an exorcism.
Okay. All right.
If there's a form I can fill out online that'll just like...
I love it. And just, yes, we can... All right, Noah, you're about to make a series of rolls, okay? So, your first...
This is going to go very poorly.
First, I'm going to let you choose for researching sort of the exorcism, occult stuff. I'm going to let you roll occult or search. You can do either one. For the, like, all birth records, all that sort of stuff, I think history makes sense. And also because some of those are a little more, like, more specific in terms of, like, genealogical websites and... employment records and that sort of stuff. You can do computer science or history. And then to become a priest.
To become priest.
This is, I'm going to have to pull up a character sheet and look through some of...
entirely fair.
I guess bureaucracy? Disguise I might... or...
Disguise.
Disguise or, let's see.
Is there a form fillable sheet on the Catholic website? I don't know. Catholic website? I don't know.
Catholicism, not yeah.
Yeah. The teachings of
Catholic. I'm gonna say that's just like a generic search, unless you can think of another another one to run for that one. So
I threw a bureaucracy as a joke because I have a 10% in it, and I think it'd be really funny.
I think that would be really funny too. So let's go ahead. That's okay. Three rolls. Let's make those rolls and then tell me what you get.
With the first one, I've got between occult and search. My search is at a 23, but my occult's at a 14. I should probably roll search. I'm not gonna lie, unless probably. Y'all think otherwise.
Roll the high number, baby.
Yeah. All right, that's a 76 over 23. That's an abject failure. Okay. It begins. And what was the second set? It was computer science and history?
Yes.
Or
history or computer science. Because this is where like the birth records and family stories and Colette.
My computer science at a 65, so I'm gonna roll that one. That's a 48 nice. Under 65.
Nice.
And the last one was bureaucracy disguise, or what was the other one, Dan?
What did I say? I think just bureaucracy, or yeah, bureaucracy is funny to me. I think that works.
Yeah. Okay. Flat 10%. 56 over 10.
That would be
so amazing.
If only you had 46 luck.
If only.
And then you'd hey, increased. But the nice
Tyler, can I borrow some?
Just no. The nice thing about Delta Green is even with failures, like you can get some information right. So like the reason that your search in sort of the occult stuff is yeah, like you said, there's just like a ton of WikiHows and like all that sort of stuff. The one thing that I'll say pops up.
I keep getting Ghostbusters fan sites.
The one thing that I'll say pops up is that there is like a used / esoteric / I think they call them like metaphysical bookstores. So you keep getting like a pop up.
Oh,
you keep getting like side ads for a metaphysical bookstore in Care4. Mm. Yeah, make sure you check those boxes for those failures.
Yeah, I did.
And then on your bureaucracy failure, I think what happens is you're just searching around and it's like all these ones that are like free, become a priest now, you know, and then it's like, actually you have to take like 2 hours of some class or like, oh, actually, you know, it's free to take, but then it's $10.99 to print the certificate. And you're like, I don't want to pay $11 just to print the certificate. So
you still cash out $11 to be ordained.
I don't think this is accredited by any notable
being
church.
Being a you know, with your background in sort of like, you know, cybersecurity web development, a lot of these seem like possibly insecure payment processors, so you're like, I don't want to do that. Actually, that
you have to buy a star in order to be a priest.
Buy one, you know, one square foot of land in Scotland and you can
I was just about to say that.
If you yeah, just Lord. Buy one square foot of heaven, you can Lord, become a will. priest. Hang on guys, I got a new business idea.
Scrap this whole podcast.
Join our Patreon.
I saw a clip of someone. It was from this clip. What was it? Cox and Corindor, where they were going around like some guy selling wooden tickets painted gold, and it was just golden ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay.
That's Kenneth Copeland's old
essentially, yeah. But you did have one success, yeah. Which is on the computer science, which, I mean, you know, I would argue is probably one of the more important ones to succeed on.
Yeah,
thank goodness. So as you're going through some of sort of, now that you'd have like Colette's name and you know to be searching for her, maybe in relationship to, you know, the Babineaux, you were doing like some deep research. You have like a time period too, like the, you know, sort of early 50s you're looking at, just to see if there's like any news, anything that strikes you, you know. And then you're going through like genealogies and you're going for like, you know, family stories, you know, employment records, all sorts of stuff. With that success, I'll say what you find is you find in the Babineaux family records, you find kind of at the right time and right age, you find a Sawyer Babineau who is listed as having one child who died like 2 days after birth. And the child was given a name, and that name was Margot.
Oh, shit.
We're going to...
Okay.
You'll get some more, but we'll find out that next time.
Oh!
Mostly because Mark's internet just dropped.
Oh, no.
He didn't even get to hear the big drop. Don't tell him next time.
Nope, not going to reveal that one. Yeah, no, we'll see if there's a next time tonight anything. Or if maybe we need to regroup tomorrow. We'll see.
Bro. All right.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you once again for tuning in to Chaos Brings Eternal. This has been episode 18 of City of Woe. Fun episode. Enjoyed getting to explore a little more with Detective Marr and for Marcy to go do some research. Hope you're enjoying it. If you are, please go like and review us on iTunes or whatever your podcast is. Podcast app is. iTunes is number one, obviously. But keep an eye out for us in the Delta Green subreddit. Or go check the show notes for ways that you can contact us through email or follow us on Twitter, Instagram. I think we might even have a TikTok. Point is, it's a lot of fun, and we really appreciate you listening, and we hope you tune in next week.